in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. If you tuned into Thursday's show, you heard Ghana-born Olympian Mame Biney say how she loves Korean food and Asian culture. Mame says she's also very excited that the next Winter Games are in Beijing, China in 2022. Mame got a good taste of Korean food at her first Winter Olympics in Seoul in 2018. And while she didn't make it to the medals podium, the 20-year-old short track speed skater said it was an amazing experience. Let's listen in now to the final part of Mame Biney's conversation with Dan Friedel. Here's Dan.
What about being an African athlete? You've spent the majority of your life at this point living in the United States. But as you mentioned, the short track speed skating in particular is heavily influenced by Asian athletes. You know, the best athletes in the world have been from the Asian countries, and certainly you stand out because of the color of your skin and your effusive personality, and you seem like such a, you know, a maybe different kind of person than you might encounter in speed skating, especially since it's dominated by Asians who can tend to be a little bit more reserved. And what is it like for you? You know, you obviously stand out. Is it something that adds a little more pressure to your experience as a speed skater?
Honestly, I don't think so, because even though I started, so Dominion was the majority of Asians were on the team, and the coach was also Korean. So I know I've been surrounded by Koreans and like their culture almost all of my life. So I feel like maybe I'm just like not really like in tune with it, but, or maybe I just am surrounded by really, really awesome people who like don't really care about like my skin color. But I just felt like I was super, super like accepted into my team and the Dominion culture and stuff. But when I go into like World Cups and stuff like that, like my first time I went to World Cups, I definitely got looked like, whoa, there's an African American on the U.S. team. Like, that's never really been seen before. But I don't know. I just feel some sort of like empowerment, I guess, in a way, because it's like, yeah, like there's someone that is different, but also like who looks physically strong. So like, watch out. I'm good with it. I don't really mind. Probably because I don't really like notice it, but
yeah, I
like I'm oblivious.
Yeah, that sounds well. That's a good perspective for sure. I can imagine that you've probably gotten comfortable with being a little bit different in your sport. I wanted to ask about your experience living in the United States after spending the first 5 years of your life living in Ghana. What has it been like to be an African immigrant in the U.S.? What are some of the experiences that you've had? And you know, what would you say to somebody who's listening to the show right now, who's living in Africa, thinking about someday coming to the United States and how you adjusted?
Yeah. So I'll be fairly honest and say, like, I honestly don't remember my 5 years of living in Ghana. And I also think, like, I was a little guarded or, like, shielded with my dad because he, like, was very, very protective of me when I was younger. But the way that I adjusted was just to surround myself with people who I was comfortable with, because I feel like I have, like, a pretty good perspective of people or, like, judgment of people. I'm not a very judgmental man, but, like, I feel like as soon as I see someone and I'm like, oh, like, I don't really think, like, we would vibe very much, I kind of, like, stay away. But, like, for people who I'm very comfortable with and, like, my type of people, like, like they're very accepting and understanding of my culture and like my differences. So I think like one advice that I would give to someone who is thinking about coming here or immigrating to the U.S. or any other country would be just to like surround yourself with people that understand where you're coming from, because the Asian, the Korean culture for Dominion and stuff like that, like their parents were also immigrants. So like they also understood where my dad was coming from. Like most of them were born in America, but like the parents understood what was going on. So like we were all like very tightly knit. Yeah, like together and all that fun stuff. So like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, just surround yourself with people who understand where you're coming from, because obviously if like you don't understand, then it's like even harder to figure out how to like be with someone. But oh man, this doesn't make any sense. I'm so sorry.
But that's okay. I think I understand. I understand your point. I think that sounds completely reasonable, you know. Find good people and surround yourself with them and make the best effort that you can to get involved in the society that you've joined. So we're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports by Mame Biney. She was just telling us about her experience growing up in the United States for the last 15 years after coming to the U.S. as a five-year-old from Ghana. Mame, I'll let you go with this. I just was curious to get a sense from you about whether you think that your progress in your sport is going to be affected at all by the pandemic. You're kind of halfway through the four-year period between Winter Olympics. Things are, you know, shut down. Things are delayed. You don't have access to some of the training that you might have had access to at this point. But is it something that you'll think you'll be able to recover from and get up to full speed by the time it's time for the Olympic trials? And I guess it would be about a year and a half.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just think that's insane how it was only 2 years ago that the Olympics were in Korea. But I really, really hope that we are able to, like, get back on track before December of 2021. But honestly, I don't really know. I can't, like, say for sure, like, oh, yeah, we're totally going to be on track, like, for 2021 and 2022. It's going to be tough. Yeah, I think if, like, everyone just, like, stays calm and, like, I understand that there's, like, a lot of people out there who aren't as fortunate as I am, but I just think, like, if everyone just, like, stays calm and, like, does their part and social distance, then we'll all get back to our lives as quickly as possible, but there's some people out there who don't do that, so I don't know. I hope we do, but who knows? Yeah.
Hopefully everybody can be resilient and smart and stay healthy, and we can get back to what we're used to as soon as possible. Well, Mame Biney, thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports. It was really great to get a chance to talk with you.
Yay! Thank you so much, Dan. It was amazing talking to you. Oh.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. While Olympic speed skater Mame Biney thinks about the 2022 Winter Games in China, thousands of other Olympic athletes are thinking about and training for the 2021 Summer Games in Japan. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, began his latest Game Room podcast with comments from the International Olympic Committee's top official. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
We are 1 year and 2 months away from these games.
Preparing for the 2020 Olympics was difficult enough. And now with another year to get ready, International Olympic Committee Chief Thomas Bach says events are largely dictating new plans for the games.
We will take all the necessary decisions at the right time. Relying on the advice of the World Health Organization, discussing it in our joint task force.
Bach says he does not know what the path to the Olympics will entail.
I think nobody can at this moment in time really give you a reliable answer on how the world will look like in July 2021. So we have to be vigilant and we have to be patient at the same time to take the right measures to ensure the safe participation of everybody in the games.
The Summer Games opening ceremony is now set for July 23rd, 2021, after the IOC and organizers in Japan used World Health Organization advice in March before agreeing to a one-year delay. Around 11,000 athletes from more than 200 countries are due to compete at the Tokyo Olympics. One of the big hurdles is the additional cost of the Olympics because of the coronavirus pandemic. Bach hopes that a big IOC commitment will help.
The IOC executive board has today approved an envelope of up to 800 million US dollars to address the financial consequences of this COVID-19 crisis.
The money will be split into two general funds.
650 million, which refers to the costs for the organization of the postponed Olympic Games for the IOC, and an aid package of up to 150 million for the Olympic movement, in particular the international federations, the national Olympic committees, and the IOC recognized entities, to enable them to continue their sport, to continue their activities, and to continue their support to their athletes.
Even with financial help, health experts, including in Japan, have questioned how the 33 sport Olympics can be run before an effective global vaccine program is in place.
Set.
Two-time 400-meter hurdles world champion Karsten Warholm of Norway is hoping to break the 28-year-old world record in the discipline at the Impossible Games, which are set to take place in Oslo, Norway, on June 11th. Warholm says the pandemic has added another hurdle.
With all the challenges now, it makes it more difficult, you know. So it's not going to be an easy task. So I'm thinking a lot about it, and I'm practicing a lot to make it happen. And you know, this is a challenge that I need now. It's motivating me and it's keeping me on my toes.
The world record stands at 46.78 seconds, set by American Kevin Young at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. Warholm's personal best mark is 14/100 of a second slower, achieved in Zurich last year. The 24-year-old Warholm will be the headline act at his home event next month, which would normally sound like this. But but will now have no fans present in the stadium.
You know, I love having the spectators there. I love the fans, and it's going to feel very empty. But at the same time, that is the thing we have to solve right now. It's better, I think, to have a meet that people can watch on TV than to have no meets at all. So we just got to make it work.
Warholm says training is slowly returning to normal.
We can train in small groups, and we also have the stadiums opening again for small groups. So now we can train more normally than we did in the beginning. In the beginning of the virus, we had to train in parks and in the roads. So it's starting to become more normal now, so I can prepare better.
But he feels the athletic season may be lost for the year.
Maybe if the world is going in the right direction, considering the virus, maybe something in, you know, September or October, but I think it will be difficult. I think we just need to deal with this right now, and track and field is very international. You know, we need to travel across borders, and to be honest, I don't think that will happen during this summer.
He supports the decision to postpone the Tokyo Olympics for a year, and especially because world anti-doping tests have been impacted by the global coronavirus pandemic. The Belmont Stakes, one of horse racing's biggest events, will take place without spectators in attendance on June 20th amid the coronavirus pandemic. Normally the third jewel of the so-called Triple Crown, the Belmont will open the challenge for horses, jockeys, and trainers for the first time in Triple Crown history.
This is a new phase. This is an unknown phase. Nobody can tell you exactly what happens because nobody has been here before.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says horse racing in the state is one of several sports looking to return, initially without fans present.
What economic activity is willing to reopen without a crowd, right? They're talking about this in terms of sports. You can have baseball without a crowd, but it can still be televised. Great. We can do that in this state with horse racing tracks. There'll be guidelines for the actual participants, but no crowds, no fans, but for the industry itself, for the televised viewers, that can still work.
Coronavirus has postponed the Kentucky Derby until September 5th at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, and the Preakness Stakes, now slated for October 3rd at Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland. Also back on the track is stock car racing, as NASCAR crews are working on cars right now for a run Sunday at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina.
It's exciting to get back, and I'm proud of NASCAR's effort to put everything in place for us to be as safe as possible and to put on a good show. And yes, it'll be disappointing that we won't have our fans there live at the racetrack, but I know they'll be there in spirit. There'll be millions of people watching, and all of us as drivers, as an industry, we can't wait to take that green flag and put on a good show.
While auto racing has inherent advantages for competing in the age of social distancing, Kurt Busch, who drives the number one car for Chip Ganassi Racing, says there have been changes.
It's been a huge effort from everybody on the team ownership side, NASCAR, the industry, the safety crews that have to be there. The pit crew has been in isolation. The drivers have done a tremendous job of self-isolation. And with all the protocols that NASCAR has put in place, all of us feel like this is a great opportunity to go back to racing. And with us in our race cars, with our protective gear on already, we're not coming in that close of contact with another competitor. And so our environment in NASCAR lends itself very well to going back to our sport before other sports can.
Busch is getting excited to drive again, as he will have a few new items on his pre-race checklist.
I actually have a filtration system for air for knocking out the carbon monoxide, but we'll be pre-screened before the race. We'll have our PPE gear on as we approach the race car. I'm going to get belted in all the way into my race car, and the only thing I need is one crew member to latch the safety window net, and we're going to head out for pace laps, check our pit road speed, and go straight into the race. I mean, what a tremendous difference and opportunity all this is, and the excitement is starting to build. And so Sunday will be our green flag.
Stand up! sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Heavyweight boxing legends Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson appear much closer to their third meeting in the ring. Holyfield? Tyson? Holyfield's 57 years old. Tyson is 53. He hasn't fought in 15 years. This bout would very likely be an exhibition-style event for charity, perhaps lasting just 4 rounds. Holyfield says the fight will be called the three-point conversion. Holyfield won both of their previous 2 encounters, the first in November 1996, was seen at the time as one of the greatest upsets in the history of the sport. The second, in June 1997, went down in infamy. Tyson bit off a piece of Holyfield's ear during the fight and was disqualified.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's Game Room podcast anytime via voanews.com. Turning to African football, Uganda is ending its local league seasons early because of the coronavirus pandemic. Joining us from Kampala with more details is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Hello, Sunny. Sports greetings to you and our listeners. Injinia Moses Magogo, the head of local football association, announced the decision after the government extended the ongoing lockdown and a ban on sports activities up to mid next month.
In consequence, Vipers Sports Club are declared champions of the Uganda Premier League. Maroons FC, Proline FC, Toro United Football Club are sportingly eligible to apply for club licensing of the 2020-2021 FUFA Big League Club License.
Competition's rules state that the league will be concluded should there be a force majeure if at least one club has played 75% of the matches. With 25 matches played, or 83% of the matches, Vipers led the standings with 54 points. 4 points ahead of Kampala Capital City Authority FC. Magogo says the decision was reached for better planning.
We have been engaging CAF, and we are given the end of this month to provide information as how our season is looking like, when do we begin the next season, who are the champions, such that they are also able to plan for the continental club competitions, but also the entire calendar of competitions of CAF. And Vipers Sports Club will represent Uganda in the CAF Champions League edition, and Kampala Capital City Authority Football Club will represent Uganda in the Confederation Cup.
Mujibu Kasule is the chairman and founder of Proline FC, one of the clubs that have been relegated.
Of course, it was very harsh on us. We were very disappointed with the decision because we felt with the 5 games left, we still had everything in our hands to fight and survive from the football pitch. Unfortunately, we've been relegated from the boardroom and it doesn't test well, but we have to accept because we see the situation and sometimes when it's a matter of life or death, football can wait and we save lives.
Abu Asike, Vipers FC spokesperson, says it was a matter of time for them to be declared league winners.
Yeah, it feels good being champions of the league. And for us, it's our set target when the season started. We wanted to be champions. And indeed, we set our foot right there from the start. We led the table through the first round up to when the league broke off on March 7th. For us, we are happy as Vipers Sports Club, though sad that we wouldn't celebrate with our fans, the atmosphere, the fans, the sponsors, that ambience, that colorful ambience.
2 second division teams were promoted, while 4 others would participate in playoffs for the remaining slot in the Premier League. The women and other junior leagues that hadn't played up to 50% were nullified. For the sunny side of sports, I am Ogume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Thanks, Magume. And that wraps up the May 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.